Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur, and I am your host, John Naster. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. It's August. It's summer in this part of the world, and I'm feeling pretty good. I hope you are too, and I hope that summer, if that's what it is for you, is treating you well as well. We got a great guest for you today, so I say we just get into it. A couple years ago, my guest decided that she was through with working for digital agencies that didn't have their clients' best interests in mind. But she had developed these serious marketing skills, and she loved helping clients succeed. So she decided to do it on her own. For the past 2 years, she's been working as an independent consultant and social media educator. And she's done all of this while taking care of her children, which only gives her about 2 to 3 to 4 hours a day to work on the business. In this conversation, we're going to discuss how to prioritize your time to maximize your results and why social media is not about ROI. Now, let's hack. Danielle Welch. Sure, it's nice to have a slick-looking website for your business, but does it really matter if nobody can find it? Of course it doesn't. It was a rhetorical question. You need to study what your customers are searching for and then create content for them. You need to be able to track your ranking progress, and you need to be able to analyze your competitors so you know what they're already being found for. You can do this with Ahrefs, the all-in-one SEO toolset. Ahrefs makes competitive analysis easy. Their tools show you how your competitors are getting traffic from Google and why. You can see the pages and content that send them the most search traffic, find the exact keywords they're ranking for, and which backlinks it takes to help them rank. With Ahrefs, you don't have to be an SEO pro to rank higher and get more traffic. Do you want to learn more? Check out their blog or YouTube channel for step-by-step SEO tutorials. Plus, they have a 7-day trial for only $7. Head over to ahrefs.com to sign up. That's ahrefs.com to sign up. Or check out their blog or YouTube channel for the step-by-step SEO tutorials. And we are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very special guest, Danielle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this. So let's just jump straight into it, shall we? Danielle, I know you're a woman I know you wear sort of many hats, but today we're talking to Danielle, the entrepreneur. So I'd like to know, as an entrepreneur, Danielle, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I would have to say time management and just understanding how to prioritize my schedule. My entrepreneur hat is on right now, but as an entrepreneur, you do wear multiple hats, right? And they look like different shapes and sizes. And a lot of the times those different hats are different roles within your business. So for me, time management has been huge, because as an entrepreneur, we can kind of feel like, especially like in today's society, like with being stay at home most of the time, you know, just kind of due to the season that we're in life here, it's August 2020. I have found like I have to be diligent in planning my day out, right? And I think that when I don't plan, I know that I get less done. So I've really, really been focused on making sure I have my top three things I'm going to get done in a day, and then kind of like a bonus list of tasks that if I get those three things done and I still have time, I'm going to go to those bonus items, right? So time management and prioritizing things has been huge for me and my business and just kind of how I operate.
Is it ever a struggle?
Yeah, it's a struggle every single day. I live and breathe in the social media world with my business, and I have to turn, like when I'm in content creating mode for some of my clients, I have to like turn off my notifications I have to put my emails away, like, because it's so easy to get sucked into the vortex of like social media world and all of that stuff. So it's a total struggle, but it takes discipline, and it just takes, you know, like a decision, you know, like I'm going to make sure I at least get X, Y, and Z done before I pop back in and see what that person's Instagram story was all about, you know, but it's a struggle. But I also believe that it can be overcome with decisions that just get backed up by disciplined action.
The beauty of working in social media, well, online, I think in general, is that we can convince ourselves, Danielle, that we're working when we're actually just wasting time.
I'm doing research.
This is research. Right now. This is research.
Right. That's the biggest justification. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's so funny.
Research a lot, Danielle. I don't know.
Right. Oh my gosh.
it's how it is. So you said these three things. I want to know this because, I mean, you're right. This is something that we all struggle with. I feel like I struggle with it more than others, but you said these three things. So like, where are you picking and choosing these three things from? And are you doing it like on a daily basis?
Yeah. So I try to do at least three tasks a day that I know, because I'm not going to give myself a list of 10 things to do if I only have 2.5 hours to work, you know, this specific day. I stay home with my two kids who are 4.5 and 1.5. My husband has a flexible job situation, but I have about a 4-hour window every day between, you know, my daughter's nap time and another, you know, my husband being able to get home early from work, where it's like, I've got 4 hours during the daytime to get done what I need to get done. If I make a list of 10 things and I don't get that done, like, have you ever made a list, like a to-do list, and you just don't get to like even number 5 and you feel like an absolute failure? It's like, that's not the kind of mindset that I want to breed in myself. So I give myself the win. I give myself the, you know, I'm going to put the ball on the tee instead of trying to take a fast pitch, a fastball down the lane. It's like, I want to give myself the ability to feel good about myself. So I give myself 3 tasks. And one of my old bosses, she's now gone on and she's created her own like sales consulting businesses. And she teaches female entrepreneurs how to get in this winning mindset. And she taught me about, she read this book called Eat the Frog. I don't know the author of it, but this concept has always stuck with me. And it's like, eat the frog. So what that means is like, do the thing you dread and you hate the most, do it first. Make that number one. Because if you make it number 10, you'll never get to it, you know? And it could be like, for me right now in my business, I'm onboarding a new client. One of the hardest things about onboarding a new client for me, like with social media stuff, is getting all of the content like planned out for the first time. It can be like the exciting thing, but it's also a lot of work, so you can dread it. I've had to prioritize that in my day, because it's easy to put like, oh, I need to filter through my emails. That's one thing I can do, right? But like, your number one thing needs to be the thing that you like, it's the hardest thing, or it's the thing you dread the most. Make that number one, because you're going to have a sense of urgency to prioritize and get that done so you can get to number 2 and number 3. Does that make sense? Like, that's a strategy that I put into place, and it's really, really helped me.
Right. And so like, so that's like in the tactical sort of sense of it, where you sort of already know what needs to be done though, right? Like within the business.
Oh yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like you know that you have to onboard this client. So it's not like, well, what should I do today? I came up with this, you know what I mean? Like, shiny object. Let's go there. So this is sort of beyond that, right? Like, you have sort of a sort of medium picture, like, okay, I know I need to take care of these, or I want to do these 3 things to move my business forward over the next couple of months. But today I have to do these things.
Yeah. Yes. I have a monthly, like, so I know what I want to get done quarterly, right? Outside of onboarding new clients, how to promote myself, how I want to show up for my Facebook group and different audiences. Like, so I know what my quarterly goals are. And then I reverse engineer. Okay, so if that's my big quarterly goal, what are my monthly goals? What can I do monthly to get towards that quarterly goal? And then I reverse engineer from there. Week by week, what can I be doing? Day by day. So some days it's like, I'm not every day, I'm not posting a blog. I'm not writing a blog post for myself, but weekly I am. So it's like, you got to kind of know what you're trying to accomplish over a 3 to 4 month, for me anyways, what you're trying to accomplish over a longer period of time, and then reverse engineer that. Start with the end in mind, right? Where are you trying to get? And then work your way backwards. And it's a lot easier to create that task list. But don't get overwhelmed by it either. Like, have grace with yourself too. That's a big thing.
So time management and this like ability to prioritize, then you're picking your 3 things. You really, really, really sound like you have this nailed. Well, you're working within a confined space of time, which lots of people look at as a negative. Yeah. You definitely use it as like a positive, because it's like, you can't waste time. You have to do it within the 4 hours. So that's your, what you are good at. So we're all talking about like this whole 80-20, do what you're good at, to avoid what you're not. Can you tell me something, Danielle? Like, what is something within your business that you are not good at?
Oh, this is so funny. The reason it's funny is because I'm a type 8, like Enneagram, or like, I'm one of those people, like, I don't want to tell you what's wrong with me, you know? but I think one of the hardest things for me is creating, like, this is so silly. I create content for people on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. I have the hardest time with creating my own content for myself, basically marketing myself. I have a hard time doing that. So the thing I dread the most in my business is not writing content for my clients or teaching people how to do it for themselves. It's literally sitting down and writing a blog post or creating social media content. And I don't know why, but that's the hardest thing. Like I always seem to struggle with getting my own brand out there, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's something I work with the business coach on, and she's like, you're being dumb. And I'm like, I know. I pay you to tell me when I'm being stupid. So tell me, you know?
Right.
So I think that's one of the hardest things for me. Or if I can be, okay, here's another one. It just came to mind. Asking for help. That's a hard part. Realizing when, like you mentioned, yeah, you sound good at time management. Yeah, I'm good at time management and prioritization because I don't want to work a 40-hour week job. That's why I'm an entrepreneur, right? Like, I want freedom in my life and to work where I want to work and do what I want to do with my life and spend time with my family. But I have a hard time asking for help when I need it. If I'm not good at something, I am a figure it out, go getter type of person. I have a blue vase mentality. If you've ever read the Go Getter by Peter Kine, it's such a great book for entrepreneurs. And I'll try to figure it out, but I could waste 10 hours trying to figure it out. So asking for help is a huge thing for me.
But at the same time, you've already told us about at least one business coach you've used.
Yes. Yeah. I have a business coach that I hired this year. She's been tremendously helpful, but I've been mentored by some really successful entrepreneurs here in Kansas City for the last 7 years. Like, I give them full credit for the mindset and the personal development I've had over the last 7 years. And I need that. Like, I've always had drive and ambition. I just didn't know how to channel it. And we get in our own heads sometimes, you know. I think it's so easy as an entrepreneur to give up on ourselves, but surrounding yourself with people who can encourage and believe in you is so key and hold you accountable. You have to give them permission to hold you accountable. But that's been essential in my life, is having a mentor and having a coach that I can go to when I have struggles.
That is asking for help.
It is asking for help, but, you know.
You're already better than most.
Yes. Well, and there's relationships there too. But let's take, for example, I'm stuck on a graphic. Let's just use this as an example. Like, I'm good at writing copy. I'm good at graphics, but I'm not the greatest. I'll sit there and meticulously, like I just spend too much time on a graphic trying to make it perfect. Whereas I could just outsource it to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, just get some help for it. Whereas I'm over here like, no, I can do it myself, you know? And it's like, no, you can actually let somebody else do it. They can do it in a quarter of the time. And you can take that extra 2 hours that you would have spent trying to make the lines perfect, writing copy, which you're really good at. You know what I mean? It's like silly things like that.
I see. Okay. So I would consider that like delegation.
Yeah, so you're not there you good go. At
delegating a task, but it sounds like you're really good at asking for help, because the other thing I know about like a good mentor is, or a good coach, is they won't work with you for very long if you not only don't know how to ask good questions, but you also don't listen to advice.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't ask to have a mentor in your life if you're not willing to receive what they have to give you. You know what I mean? Like, I went through a process to earn mentorship with the people that I have access to now. And that earning was not anything like, I don't pay them to be a mentor. I had to prove to them that what they were going to provide me as far as perspective and insight and counsel on things, that I would take it into consideration. When I was growing up, I would just ask my parents like permission for things, right? Like, I just wanted validation on decisions that I had already made, right? And a mentor's not there for that. They're there to show you the things that you don't see, right? Because maybe they're further along, definitely being open to what they have to say. That's a mentor. Otherwise, yeah, you're not, they're not a mentor. They've got to have some insight. And how do I say, you know, not a financially vested interest, but even just like an emotional vested interest in your success. And you've got to allow them in for that.
On this sort of line of working with coaches, working with mentors, you also need to balance, I find, with like, you need to be somewhat cocky, if you will. Like, as an entrepreneur, you have to believe in yourself to a, like, yeah. And some things it's just like, yes, that's what you, and I trust you on a lot of things, but that I, my gut or something tells me I should do this and I need to follow that. Like, how do you balance sort of like you knowing what's right and like that whole validation from parents that you wanted as a kid, but, and working with mentors, you know what I mean? Where there's that balance, because a mentor doesn't want you just to follow blindly either, but they do want to know that you right. will take their advice, like heed it in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, you have to have an understanding of like who you are, right? Like, and that's where I think you're kind of going with that statement in question. It's like, you know, your mentor, if they're not a mentor to you, if they're just telling you what to do and that's all you do, they want it. Like for me, my mentors have taught me how to think and how to process. Does this fit for me? Right? Here's some perspective, but this, does this fit in where you're trying to go, Danielle? No. Okay. You know, they want, like, as I'm a mentor as well to other individuals. And one thing that I love about relationships that I have with people that I mentor is I never want to feel like a boss. If I wanted to be a boss, I would have stayed in the corporate world, right? Like I never wanted that. I never wanted to be, I was a volleyball coach for 8 years, you know, but I wasn't a coach just so these kids would listen to me and do what I said. It's because I wanted to develop them. I wanted them to learn these skills, right? And so it's like, yes, they, as a mentor, like they're going to give you perspective. They don't want you to just do it. They want, for me, like the best mentors out there, they teach you how to think and how does their advice and counsel apply to you and your situation, you know, because at the end of the day, you're your business. You own your business. You are yourself. So you have to know like who you are and what you're trying to accomplish and filter everything through that, which is why it's important, in my opinion, to have values and have a value system and know what you stand for and know what you're trying to accomplish. Hire a business coach or somebody that can help you formulate that. If you don't know who you are, what you stand for, like get some help on that. And then once you have that established, your decision should be based off of your value system and what you want to be known for and how you want to brand yourself and the impact that you want to have. So then any advice that you get, because your grandma at the next, you know, family get together could try to give you some advice, you know, maybe it's good, but you've got to have a filter to run it through. It might be terrible advice. It might be horrible advice, but it's just, you know, it's just establishing you've got to know how to filter through things. That's important for sure.
That's it. That's the trick, is that filter, knowing what to keep and what to get rid of.
Yeah.
So you've been at this social media game for several years now at this point, Danielle. How, like, what brought you to social media marketing?
So I'm going to try to keep this short because I'm long-winded, if you have not noticed. But I worked as a marketing consultant for a digital marketing agency for about 5 years. So I was on the front lines fielding phone calls, outbound and inbound phone calls to small businesses that were currently in the phone book advertising. And my job was to convert them to being more digital as well as keep them in the phone book. So that's an interesting dynamic. But the programs that the company that I worked for digital marketing, your streamlined process of search engine optimization. So I would sell these people into a website, sell them some SEO, tell them I'm going to get them on the first page of Google, get a Facebook page set up for them. Hey, we'll do posts for you. And these small businesses just, they didn't know what decisions to make for themselves and whatnot. So they'd agree, pay anywhere from $500 to $1,500 a month or more. And a lot of times I just noticed that these small business owners were just trusting the consultant, which if you're a good consultant and you have their best interest at mind, you'll gear them into the right programs. But just as a whole, I just saw that a lot of small business owners, their needs were not being met from a fulfillment standpoint, but also like they were not being educated. And I come from a family of entrepreneurs, small business owners. And I just saw that. And over the years, that started to weigh on my heart, really. And I just kind of felt like I was in this like character crisis where I'm having to sell people into programs that I just don't believe are the right fit for them, or they're overpaying for it because I know there's better solutions out there. But it's my job. Like I got to have a paycheck, right? And there came to a head where there was just one instance with a client where unfortunately her husband, who was the lead plumber, like he made all the decisions. She was staying home with the kids. Like he unfortunately passed and there was nothing set up for them as far as like what to do with their business. And the company that I worked for, like would not cancel her 12 month program until she could produce a death certificate, all this crazy stuff. And I was like, this is wrong. This is so wrong. And I went to bat for that woman and I took a huge hit at work because I just canceled it. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'll take responsibility for this. And it was like a $1,200 commission hit for me, but I was like, this is wrong. And I got into it and I just, you know, with my manager and all of that. And I was just like, you know what? I told my husband, I was like, I'm done. And for small business owners, they need to be educated. They need to know that there's more resources. So in the summer of 2018, after working in the industry for 5 years, I talked with some mentors and I just said, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. So I started freelancing website design on the side because it wasn't a conflict of interest with the companies I worked with. And within 3 months, that freelance income matched what I was making at my day job. And I was pregnant with my second kid at the time and I wanted more freedom in my life. And my husband and I, we do a lot of things to create passive income for ourselves. So this lined up with our family values. And I just took that leap. And within 10 months of starting the business, I had my first five-figure month and offering social media management services and website design. But I'll tell you, at that 10th month though, I was working 40 to 50, sometimes 60 hours a week. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't keep doing it. Like I just got myself my own job. So I started creating an online course that would allow me to train small businesses how to do this. And so now I've been able to cut my hours back from 40 hours a week as a self-employed business owner to, you heard me say, like maybe 3 to 4 hours a day, you know, so 15 to 20 hours a week, maybe, in my business and making a full-time income with it. And it's just me and I've got some VAs that help me, but my biggest thing getting me into this was I just want small business owners to understand the choices that they have available to them out there. Everyone here is an entrepreneur, right? We all wear multiple hats. Well, think of your traditional local small business, brick and mortar business. That business owner wears so many hats. They have so many plates to spin. They don't have time to learn social media. So I come from an unbiased perspective. I tell people like, I'll call all the bull crap. I'll tell you what you need and what you don't need and where you're overspending and what you need to invest into. And if I'm not the right fit, so be it. I want to point you in the right direction. And I've seen great relationships form because of that. And I'm very proud of what we have here.
So lots of the strategy, lots of the tactics that you're implementing for clients would be similar to what you were doing when you were working under a different marketing agency. But now you also have to do everything else. Yeah. Like what's something that you've learned about this business that you didn't know, like since you've been working on your own?
That I have to set up boundaries around what I can provide my clients. So for instance, my specialty is social media marketing strategy, creating content strategy plans, as well as fulfillment plans and what the graphics need to look like and all of that. But some of my clients, they need more than that. They might need their website redesigned. I can do that, but it's not my like bread and butter. Blogging and search engine optimization, like just figuring out what I can and cannot offer. And that's been hard because there's been times in, you know, you get sometimes in your business, you get desperate, right? You're kind of like, I need the extra revenue that I could charge them if I added on blogging as an option, but that's going to take more time. So I've really had to set up boundaries around like, I don't want to be a full digital marketing agency. I could do that because I have the knowledge, but I need to just stay in my lane and then network myself with other people like me that I can point people in the right direction to, because I don't want to be an agency. So just creating those boundaries and staying in my lane, I think, is how I would answer that.
And then creating a network. So like, you yep. know, like a designer and you can just sort of refer over to her.
100%. Like I've got a couple of different graphic designers, just depending on the type of client that I'm working with. You know, if the graphic aesthetic needs to be more female driven and kind of light and airy and feminine, I know exactly who to send them to. And I've spent a lot of time over the last 2 years networking with different people that can help with SEO on the back end and backlinking and blogging. And I've got a guy who can do Google AdWords, and I can just point people in the right direction that they need to go to. And I've built these relationships with people so that I know if someone gets referred to me, which is 80% of my business is coming through word of mouth and referrals. And so if they come to me, then that means someone's vouched for me. Well, if I'm going to then send them back out to somebody else, I need to make sure whoever I send them with aligns with me, right? So they're not going on some wild goose chase to find somebody that's going to fit. They came to me because they liked what they heard. So the next person that I hand them off to, there needs to be some similarities in our style, our beliefs, our values, and how we do business. So I've spent a lot of time building those proper relationships with other people in my industry. And yeah, and I think that that's been really helpful too.
So you mentioned earlier in the conversation, like it's August 2020. We're living in some weird times. You work with small businesses, you bring them online. That has changed. Well, most things in this world have changed in the past few months. But how has this whole COVID situation from like March till August, how has it impacted your business?
My business personally, or the like what I do for my clients?
Yours first.
Okay. So for me, I've had to show up and be way more visible for my audience. Let's just say, take February, for example. I can get away with just creating some social media posts, you know, for my business here and there. But the amount of time that just regular everyday people spend on social media platforms has increased so much over these last 6 months that I only post a single post every single day on social media, or like send out one email newsletter a week or whatever. Like, I'm going to get lost in all the other stuff that people are looking at, right? So I've definitely had to increase my visibility, and I've had to go and do more live videos. I've been offering a lot of free trainings on social media strategy in my Facebook group. Trainings that last sometimes 30 to 45 minutes. That could be an entire consultancy call, you know, that somebody I charge an hourly consulting rate with, but I'm just doing it for free. And I'm just wanting to help small business owners learn, because to switch gears and talk about how I've seen it affect local small businesses, like money is tight and businesses where I live are shutting down left and right. And it breaks my heart. And marketing is one of the first things that goes in a budgeting conversation with local small businesses. It's cutting back on their advertising, which is silly because it's like advertising is the thing that's funneling.
It's what drives your business. I know.
Right. But they don't want to get rid of their employees, right? They don't want to have to let people go. So they're trying to find ways to cut corners. So if they've got to cut back on their advertising or their marketing, so then they can, that person that they want to keep on as the receptionist so that they don't have to let them go, have her learn how to start doing your social media instead of having me do it. And that's been conversations that I've had with a couple of clients that they had to cancel with me on a monthly basis. And I said, okay, well then let's get your secretary access to my course so she can learn how to do social media strategy so that you can keep this going, because you don't need to turn it off. And just trying to get really creative, because small businesses right now, they've got to show up even more than they were than in January. You know, they have, because there's so much noise. We're here in the US, we are currently in a very intense election season. So Facebook, as an example, is just a war zone of different commentary and stuff. If you want your business to show up in people's newsfeed, guess what? You're going to have to just show up more often. So it's not scale it back. Don't scale back your amount of consistent posts. You've got to increase it now. And so that's just kind of the things that I've been seeing over the last 6 months, is we've got to increase our content output because people are spending more time on the platforms.
Have you noticed that you've had to, for clients, like go any steps further to prove or like validate the ROI or like the return on their investment that they're putting, whether they're training somebody in-house using your education or they're hiring you specifically, but do they want to see that that's actually coming back to being dollars in the bottom line?
No, for me, no. And here's the reason why. When I bring on a client, and because I don't do social media advertising, so I do not do ad strategy. I'll create graphics for their ads, but I don't do anything that's ROI based. And here's the reason why. Because I don't believe that social media content marketing is an ROI based effort for your marketing strategy. It's all about brand awareness. So when I onboard a client, I make sure there's a very clear expectation that they understand you may not see in dollars the return to your business that you're expecting. Like, I can't tell you if we do 10 posts in a month, it's going to yield you 2 new clients. I can't tell you that kind of stuff because you just don't know. The objective is to get your name out there more. So for me, I haven't had a lot of ROI questions with people. What I do is I just present the value to branding them and continuing to make them more of a household name in their local community. So for me, I haven't had to have a lot of ROI conversations with people when it comes to my services with social media. Yeah, that's just me though. I know other people may have, but I have not.
For your clients, which social media platforms are you focusing on?
Facebook, Instagram, and depending on the client, LinkedIn.
So LinkedIn would be like business to business type people?
Yep. Or I represent a gentleman who has a podcast. He's also a public speaker. He's also a sports broadcaster. I represent a financial planning group here in Kansas City. I've represented real estate agents in the past. So a lot of their network or a lot of their ideal clients spend most of their time on LinkedIn. So I have a different content strategy for them on LinkedIn. But like my local pest control company that I work with, he is definitely not on LinkedIn. He's on Facebook and Instagram. The two private schools that I represent, Instagram and Facebook. It just really depends on who their target audience is. What are their ideal customer personas? And then where does that person hang out online? And then we build out strategies around that.
Should small businesses get involved in this heated election year?
No, no, no.
I'm Canadian. I don't know.
No. Is that a trick question? No. It's easy to, man. It's so easy to want to like create a post that can seem neutral, but you know what you're doing. You're trying to stir the pot. You're just trying to get some, like you're trying to be a little clickbaity. I've seen businesses doing that right now where they'll put a controversial topic out there. They won't choose a side, but then they'll let people go at it in the comment section because they know it boosts their engagement on their page.
Right. And I've seen this too.
It's shallow. And you know, at the end of the day, the people who engage with that, they're more than likely not even your ideal clients. You know what I mean? The people who value you and your services or your product, they want to more than likely, they're going to want to do business with you based on your character, your integrity, and what you represent and what you can do for them and the value that you can bring to them. Just don't get caught up in it. You know, that's my recommendation. Don't get caught up in that and put the election aside and just talk about the pandemic. Unless your product or services has to do with, you know, keeping, you know, people updated with what, you know, your protocols are and things like that. Try to avoid discussions around that too, because Facebook flags that stuff. I got a phone call from Facebook at the beginning of this pandemic because they know that I manage a lot of different business accounts. And they were just like, hey, just want to make sure, you know, like we're calling people to let them know they probably shouldn't use COVID or coronavirus or pandemic in any of their graphics, you know, we're just trying to make sure people aren't taking advantage of the situation, you know? So even stuff like that, it's just, you got to be careful because this season will pass and this pandemic will go away. And you just don't want your business to get caught up in stuff that could hurt your reputation long-term because you're trying to get a short-term gain on something.
Oh, well said. Well said. And it is hard though, because like with the pandemic, it's some companies that have avoided it completely. It just seems cold. Like they're not even like, they're not reading the room.
Yeah.
Like, especially in like late March, early April, it was like, what are you? Don't put like, it was just goofy things they put out. It's like the world is on fire right now. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that has to do with just with your content. Like there has to be some strategy behind it. Right. And for me, like when I teach strategy, like first and foremost, we have to identify who are you trying to attract. So if you're just putting out content to put out content and you're not considering the emotional and mental state that your audience might be in right now, you know, it's like if you're in Kansas City and you're a sports bar and the Kansas City Chiefs just lost the Super Bowl in overtime. And the next day you go out and you make some post about how great the Chiefs are. It's like, actually, no, they're not, you know, like they just blew it, you know, like Mahomes fumbled on the 5 yard, you know, whatever. It's like, you got to read the room. You got to take a temperature check. So if people are concerned about what's going on, then maybe you do talk about it, but you don't have to, just don't leverage it in a way that's going to be of low integrity and low character. Like empathize with people. Like if you're if you're creating content that invokes emotion, which is something that I teach in strategy creation, it's like, or content creation, you got to know what your audience is feeling, what they're going through so that you can empathize with them, because people do business with people. They don't do business with businesses. Right. So you've got to be relatable. So for sure. I mean, it's something that you can definitely involve in your content, but you can't misuse it. You know, you can't try to profit off of what's going on. And if, again, you just got to know what your audience's needs are right now. If they need to know that you're taking extra precautions at your local boutique shop to make sure that everyone feels safe and comfortable and things like that. Yes, talk about that. That's what your audience wants. But don't, you know, just here's a big thing. Don't go passing around news articles. Don't go share stuff that, you know, from all of that stuff. Like, how are you and your business handling things? But just keep things out that could be opinion based. Just that's my biggest thing with it.
It makes sense. And that's great advice. And it's tough times these days with it. And I don't think we need anybody else sharing the nonsense because there's lots of it out there right now. Yep. So let's just pretend we're 1 year from now. So next August, Danielle, and we're looking back on your past year and you've had a fantastic year that you're really happy with in your business. What has happened throughout this year to make you feel like that?
Well, what has happened to make me feel like this was a great year is that I've had an opportunity to reach more small business owners and entrepreneurs with my online course. The whole reason that I created that course was so that I could reach more people with just kind of some of the mindset that I've talked to you about today on different things, right? Of course, with content creation and strategy, but just having the opportunity to reach more people because I'm only one person. And like I said before, I don't want to be an agency. So what would make me feel like this year is a success, or I would say over the next 12 months, because I know how much time's left in the rest of the year, is that, you know, 80% of my focus is focused on servicing students in my online course. And 20% of that, like the rest of my business, is focused on my one-on-one clients. Cause I do have a limit on that. Cause I have like a waiting list for people that want to be my one-on-one clients because I want to be able to serve everybody to my fullest ability. And if I feel like I'm spread too thin, then I'm not going to be in the best position to serve them well. Right. So 20% of my focus would be in 2021 focused on my one-on-one clients, my consulting, my strategy, and my social media management clients. And then I really want to expand my online course program and let it be more of like a group collaboration environment where other small businesses are learning from each other. So I guess success for me in that would be just having facilitated in a really strong environment of small business owners being able to learn from one another's successes and failures while using social media to grow their businesses online. I have a revenue goal that I want to hit, you know, for our family and some things that would allow my husband to be able to come home from his full-time job and do some other entrepreneurial things that he wants to do. And that would be a big success for us as well. But yeah, so I think that's how I would define it. And successfully homeschooling my 4.5-year-old. If I can make it to the fall of next year as a new home, because I'm starting that in 2 days. Oh, so check in with me a year from now to see how that's going. there's not very many options in Kansas. So with what to do with schools this year. So I'm excited about that journey though. I chose this life, this path of entrepreneurship and working from home. Like I want to be my kids' primary influence. So as long as that's what's going on at that point, then I'll consider it all a success.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you want 80% of your revenue to be your online courses. That's where you want to be able to help more people. So yeah. Could you now, Danielle, just specifically tell the listener what your course is, who it specifically can help, and where they can find it online?
Yep. So the course is called Social Media Marketing Made Easy for Small Business Owners. So in a nutshell, it's a 6-7 module online video course where I teach everything from how to identify what your needs are as a business owner and what platforms you need to be on with social media to identifying who your audience is, creating your messaging strategy or content strategy, teaching all of the tech. So essentially what I've learned in 7 years in this industry, I've been able to really package it into this 7-module course where you can learn everything that I know in this course. So I've even been able to market this to businesses. And I just tell them like you buy the program for your business, not just for one of you. Like this can be a part of your onboarding strategy when you bring a new person on the team. Maybe it's a new receptionist or a new staff member who you want them to do social media. Like I'm literally just trying to take everything that I know about this industry and package it into this online program. And then they also get access to our private Facebook group where there's more group discussions, more ongoing training, and it's a lifetime access to this. So It's really for the local small business owner who wants to take more ownership of their social media because maybe they can't afford to hire somebody else to do it. I just don't want those types of businesses who can't afford one-on-one management service to be left by the wayside just because of money. They still need to be on social media. They just need to know what to do. So that's who it's for.
Where can we find it?
You can go to my website, which is bridgecd.com/course. So bridge is in bridge consulting and design, C is in cat, D is in dog, and then /course. And that's the best place to find it. Yeah.
Awesome. So bridgecd.com/course. I'll link to that in the show notes so it's easy for everyone to find. Also, I believe it's facebook.com/bridgeconsultingdesign, but we'll also track down you on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn so that people can learn more about you or from you there. Yes, we're going to find links to this, the Go Getter book, I believe you said, and Eat the Frog.
Yep. Yes, Peter Kine, the Go Getter. You're going to learn what it means to have a blue vase mentality. And nice. I'm not going to tell you what it is because you have to read the book to find out.
Awesome. So we'll have all that for you. So whenever you're done walking, jogging, working out, whatever it is you're doing, they'll be there on Hack the Entrepreneur for you waiting. Just look under the podcast for Danielle. Danielle, thank you so much for stopping by. Thanks for sharing so openly. I truly, truly appreciate it. And just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome to watch.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a really fun conversation. I don't know the last time that I talked to somebody in Canada. So this Kansas girl is pretty excited about it. So thank you.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. If you are running your own small business or you just want to know how to market better with social media, I'd say Danielle is the person you should look to. Again, you can track her down on her site. You can find her. We'll list everything over at Hack the Entrepreneur as well. Under the podcast, you'll be able to find links to her. But I'm sure she'd be happy to answer your questions and see what she can do for you or even what you can do for yourself and your business. Social media, as she says, in 2020 it's kind of essential, and it's essential in a different way just because of the times we're living in, and it does take a different approach. So check her out. And I hope to have you back here next week. But until then, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.